Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 11th, 2015, at the Denison Theater at the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. There was no theme for this event. This week's story comes to us from Karen McNenny and is titled Frisbee Dudes or Won't You Be My Neighbor? Thank you for listening.
Hi, Missoula. Oh, I do love my hometown. And I grew up on the south side, which says a lot about me right off the bat. And I'm a boomerang kid, which is to say I left as soon as I could because I was not going to stay in my hometown. So at 18, I spread my wings and went all the way to Bozeman. And then I kept going to a few other places, but eventually I made my way back to Missoula. But upon return, ultimately, I landed in the Rattlesnake Valley, which is very different than the South Side. And it feels so at home. And our family had been growing exponentially, sort of doubling in size with spouses and, okay, only one spouse at the time, and children. And eventually we found this home in the Rattlesnake. And it was perfect because it had a huge yard and lots of bedrooms and a couple bathrooms. And it was on a little dead-end street. And the Rattlesnake has all these little micro neighborhoods and communities with their own personality. And we were right at the base of Mount Jumbo. There were only 5 houses on this dead-end street. And every one of them had a family living inside with other young children. So it was just a romper room all the time. But shortly after our arrival, the house directly adjacent to us, the family moved away. And we suddenly had a rental that was vacant on our street, which can make you a little anxious. And for those of you not familiar with our neighborhoods, I'll remind all of us that the Rattlesnake neighborhood where I was at was 1 mile from the University of Montana campus. It was on the bus line. It had bike paths and hiking trails nearby, and also 1 mile from the downtown Bermuda Triangle. And it also had 5 bedrooms and a couple of bathrooms. So what are the chances that college students are going to move in next door to me? Very, very high. And you can probably guess what we can all expect from our collegely neighbors as they infiltrate our neighborhoods. And I was one of those neighbors, along with everyone else on our street, as we saw them arriving, papasan, futon, frisbees flying, hammocks. Oh, yes, they're going to be loud. They're going to be obnoxious. They're going to be inconsiderate. There's going to be traffic on my street. And don't even get me started about the garbage, because if you live in the Rattlesnake, you cannot put your garbage out the night before. When you get home from the bar, you have to do it at 6 a.m. in the morning, which they're not inclined to do. So who ends up? Okay, you get the scene. And sure enough, in they come, and mayhem sort of ensues here and there. And I will just say at this point that it is true Missoula has this funny thing where we love to be a college town, but sometimes do not love our college students. So there I was on a beautiful Saturday morning, a couple years into this neighborhood relationship. And I remember it was springtime because we had just come through graduation season. Missoula doesn't really have graduation day. It's more like a couple week season. And there had been a lot of activity. And I don't remember the particulars of Friday night, but I do remember that finally Saturday morning was quiet. And in fact, everyone in my house was still asleep, so I sort of slithered out of bed and I opened the curtains, beautifully looking onto the quiet street and Mount Jumbo, and I slipped into bed and opened my book. And as I was getting back into bed, I happened to just notice out of the corner of my eye this movement, like a streak of, I don't think it was a streaker, but there was someone moving very quickly out of the neighbor's yard through my yard and leaving first thing Saturday morning. And I didn't think too much of it until it happened again within 5 minutes. And this time I could clearly see out my window these three lovely, dainty, cute college co-ed girls leaving my neighborhood early on a Saturday morning. You got a story about those hussies, ladies? And I carried on with my novel, and then it happens again. Only this time, it is someone coming into my neighborhood. Someone who doesn't belong. And frankly, I'm probably a bit like you. I know my neighbors, I know the cars, I know the relatives, I know their babysitters, I know their cars, and I know that this dude does not belong on my street. For one, he's older. He's got the silver hair going, and it's pulled back in a ponytail, and he's got on his Saturday sweats and the hoodie, and he's working the Birkenstocks, and he's grooving down my street, and I see him go right up, and I'm like, who the heck is this? Oh, he's that guy. He's getting him ready for the Saturday night party, at which point I've had it. I leap out of bed, throw down the book, find my own Saturday sweat, zip up the hoodie, and head out to check the mail. And fortunately, on Raymond Avenue, all the mailboxes are clustered together down on the corner of the street, which gives me a perfect vantage point to turn and look into the yard of those young men. And sure enough, those boys on a Saturday morning were having a garage sale. A garage sale. Not a drug deal. Just a garage sale. This is not one of my proudest neighborly moments, for sure. And even more embarrassing, as I was standing there at the mailboxes and I turned and looked into their yard, I actually wanted to see the keg sitting on top of that picnic table in the front yard, and maybe there'd be a dude passed out in the grass and, hell, throwing a few brassieres in the tree. That would have been delightful. Because I would have been right. And I really wanted to be right about those boys. So there wasn't any mail. And I turned and headed back into my house a little more sheepish than when I had left. And as I was walking back in, one of those young men had the gall to come out to the end of his driveway. And he starts yelling at me, Hey, Karen, he knows my name. You know that lamp we got at your garage sale a couple summers ago? Like, do you want it back? We're just getting rid of it today. How dare he be nice to me? I've already decided I don't like him or his friends. So I composed myself and I stride on over there and take back my lamp and end up having a really nice conversation with this group of young men. And all their parents are there because, of course, it's graduation weekend and the garage sale is the beginning of the end of our relationship because they all move out. And guess who moves in? College students. Because life is just funny that way and always seems to send me an opportunity to practice. And this time it's not one or two or three or four, it's five boys with a funk band. Kung Fu Congress has moved in next door. And sure enough, once again, we see the futons and the frisbees and the fulfing course being set up and all of this activity. And as the kids and I are coming home that fall after school, there's a lot of activity in the yard next door. And as we're spilling out of the minivan, no need to judge me, my son is just frozen in the driveway looking into the yard. Mama, who's that? It's our new neighbor, Patrick, some students. Get your backpack. Let's go. No, Mama, like, who are they? I don't know. They're students. Evidently, they're musicians. Let's go. We've got things to do. Mama, what do you think their names are? I don't know, Patrick. Let's go find out. So I scoop up Patrick and Sophia, and we make ourselves towards their front porch, at which point you can see this group of boys getting really nervous. They're shaking it down. We haven't even had a party yet. Here come the neighbors, because they have a story about me, just like I have a story about them. And we introduce ourselves, and they step up. Hey, I'm Charlie, and this is Tully. Tully's the trumpet player, and Eric with wild blonde hair, and Scott and Kyle, identical twins, like totally identical, very, very cool. My kids are mesmerized. And Charlie walks up to Patrick and asks him, hey, dude, do you like to throw the disc? You want to, like, play some frisbee? My son loves to play the frisbee. And the next thing I know, there they are. They're just indulging, this five-year-old. And one of the girlfriends is over and asks Sophia, hey, I'm doing nails. You want to join in? And it ends up becoming the beginning of this most extraordinary and surprising and special friendship. And we did enjoy potlucks together and barbecues. And Patrick, God love him, he any day could get away with it. He would march right over to their front street and front stoop and knock on their door with a frisbee in his hand. Anyone want to throw disc? And more often than not, those young boys would come out and indulge him. So often that they all became known to us as the Frisbee Dudes. And they even invited us to band practice. And I was cool again. And eventually, that house sold. And the Frisbee Dudes were invited to leave our neighborhood. And you'll never guess who moved in. Nice family. Neighborhood's never been the same. Thank you. And one of my Frisbee Dudes is here tonight. To all the Frisbee Dudes of Missoula, thanks for coming.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by the Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Our title sponsor, the bookstore at the University of Montana. A local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Montana Book Festival, a celebration of the written word. MontanaBookFestival.org. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashfordrunkersmusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockandrudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks. MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Karen McMenney, Chris Latre, Susan Maruka, and Josh Slotnick. find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the themes for 2016. TellUsSomething.org.